Today we again come to you and we invite you to sit down and listen to us as we seek to impart to you the truth as it is found in the Word of God. I am very conscious of the fact that truth is only imparted by the Spirit of God to open hearts. I'm more and more convinced of this fact. If one's heart is closed to truth, then you never know it, especially spiritual truth. God is not going to take the wonderful truths concerning His person and His work for men and women to hearts that are not open. And the question is, do you mean business with God? Because I'm sure that God means business with you. Now we're dealing with the first chapter of the Gospel through John, the fourth Gospel in the New Testament, which gives to us the revelation of Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Or if I may be a little more explicit, we have here the revelation of God manifest in the flesh, coming right into the human family, for the purpose of redemption, yes, but also for the purpose of the revelation of God to men. You know, friend, it is ignorance of God that is the reason for so much sin. We sin because of our ignorance of God. You remember our Lord spoke of this when He said, "They hate me, and they'll hate you." Why? Because they know not the Father nor me. Ignorance of God. And to me, here we are in a so-called enlightened age. When I think of all the universities and colleges and our boasted knowledge with our philosophies and so on, and yet though knowledge abounds, the knowledge of the Savior and what He can do with a human heart has been pushed to one side. And the tragedy is not so much that people are opposed to the gospel, as it is they're totally indifferent to the gospel. And the sad thing is they're satisfied to be indifferent. This is the tragedy. It's bad enough for one to be indifferent, but to be satisfied with one's indifference, that means a closed door. And it's no use discussing things with people whose hearts and minds are closed. Let us be honest about this. A great many oppose the gospel. They ridicule Christians who have never investigated Christianity. They know nothing of the things of God. They know nothing of Christianity except as they've seen it. And I'm sorry to say, sometimes they see it manifested or not manifested. Might be a better way to put it. It is not manifested through His people as it should be. And people say, "I don't want that sort of a thing." Well, friend, you may be opposed to religion, but we want you to see Jesus Christ as He really is. And in this Gospel through John, there is given to us the revelation of God manifest in the flesh. As I was saying in my last lesson, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He hath shown Him forth. And I dare you to take the Word of God, take the Gospel through John, read it with an open mind. Read the claims of Jesus Christ. And you have to come to one of two conclusions. Either He is God manifest in the flesh, or He is an imposter. Don't tell me He's a good teacher, or a marvelous man, a man who lived beyond his days, or ahead of his time. He's either what He claimed to be, or He's an imposter. The Jews picked up stones to stone Him when they should have worshipped Him. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? No man has seen God at any time, except it is displayed and revealed to us in Jesus Christ. Now we're dealing with the testimony especially of John the Baptist here from verse 15 down to verse 34. And we've been discussing the first place, that is, John's place. He hides behind the Savior. He comes to bear witness of the preferred one. And we'll take up his testimony a little later. But in verses 19 to 28, we find John the Baptist in his worship. You remember in the 6th verse, he came to bear witness of the light. In 15 to 18, he's concealed. He's hiding behind the Savior, who is the preferred one. Now we find John in his worship. Here you find in 19 to 28, John is occupied with the person of Christ. And notice his humility in these verses. And I'm going to take the time to read these verses, because some of you don't have a Bible with you. It may be in your car or someplace and you haven't got a Bible. Let me read the text. Verse 19 of John chapter 1 I read, "And this is the record of John," that is John the Baptist, "when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who art thou?' or 'Who are you?' And he confessed and denied not. But he confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then? Are you Elias?' And he said, 'No, I am not.' 'Are you that prophet?' 'No.' 'Then who are you?' We've got to go and tell these leaders who you are, that we may give an answer to them that sent us. What do you say of yourself? Who do you think you are?" And John said in verse 23, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were the Pharisees. And they asked him and said to him, 'Why do you baptize them, if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet?' And John answered them, saying, 'I baptize with water. But there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing." Very simply, here you have John, a heart occupied with Christ. You know, he could have been really puffed up when they said, "Are you the Christ? Are you the anointed of God?" Now remember, the ones who came were representative from the priests and the Levites, the leaders of Israel. And the great crowds were following John. He was baptizing down there in the River Jordan. So we want to find out, who is this man, John the Baptist? So the committee came over to see him. And when they asked him, he said, "Well, you know, I'm not the Christ. I am not the Christ. I'm not the one you're looking for. I'm not the Christ." He exhorted Christ. This was his mission. He was willing to be nothing so that Christ could be all. And you will notice as he goes along, he shortens his answer. He confessed, he denied not, and he confessed and said, "I am not the Christ." Now that should have been enough. But so they said to him, "Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you that prophet?" "No, I'm only a voice crying in the wilderness. My, I love John." You see, they knew something about the scriptures. For example, in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, when they asked the question, "Are you Elijah?" They were quoting from Malachi chapter 4. When he said, "I am not the Christ," then the next logical question was, "Are you the Elijah?" Because Malachi 4 said, before the Messiah came, Elijah would come and would prepare the way of the coming of the Messiah. "Then are you Elijah?" He said, "No, I am not." Then they said, "Are you that prophet?" Now they were quoting or had in mind Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. In fact, twice in Deuteronomy, Moses prophesied that God would raise up a prophet like unto him. And unto him, this prophet, would the gathering of the peoples be. That is the coming of the Messiah. And John says, "No, I'm not the Christ. I am not Elias. I'm not that prophet." "Well, who are you?" "I'm only a voice crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare ye the way of the Lord,' as said the prophet Isaiah." He was satisfied to be just a voice. Friend, Christian friend, are you and I satisfied? Let's face up to the question. Are we so in love with the Savior, in our desire to lift him up so that men can see Jesus as a sinner Savior? or do we exalt ourselves? Oh, how easy it is to hinder people seeing Christ by pushing self in front of Christ. This is not John. John says, I'm satisfied to be just a voice crying in a wilderness, in a desert place, saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. You see, the object of his worship was the eternal Son of God. I want you to mark that. The pre-existent one. Look at verse 27. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me. Or if I may quote from one of the other Gospels, for he was before me. John here is occupied with the eternal pre-existent God. And here he is really declaring the divine sovereignty and superiority of Jesus. Greater in dignity, greater in person, greater in position, greater in time, greater in existence than anyone else. No wonder John hid behind Jesus. The divine Son of God was the object of his worship. So he is for us today. I ask you, my friend, who is the object of your worship? Someone's going to say, well, Mr. Mitchell, I'm not an atheist. I'm not a pagan. I believe in God. But I don't agree with you about this Jesus of Nazareth, that he is God manifest in the flesh. I don't believe he's deity. I believe he's a good man. All right, I come along and ask you the question. Supposing we rule Jesus out. We say he's a good man. He's just a teacher. You say you believe in God. I ask again the question. What is your God like? You say, well, my God is love. How do you know that? How do you know that? The revelation that God is love was never received through some of the gods of the nations. You go to India, you go to Africa, you go to South America. You won't find any of their gods revealing love and revealing grace. In fact, if I can quote from missionaries who have gone among some of the tribe and some of the nations of the world, in their language they have no word for love, no word for grace. Where did this word love come from? Where is this revelation that God is love? Where do you get that? There's only one place you do get it, my friend. That's from the Bible, manifested by Jesus Christ. He's the personification of love. Herod, the personification of cruelty. Julius Caesar, you on down, take all the great men of the world of history. What are they? Which one was the personification of grace or of love? None of them. None of them. None of them. When you tell me that God is love, my friend, if you believe that, there's only one place you find that. And if you say you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you have no use for the Word of God, then I say very bluntly, you have absolutely no ground for your statement that God is love. No man hath seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son who was in the bosom of the Father, he hath shown him forth. When he came, John the Baptist said, I'm not the Messiah, I'm not Elijah, I'm not that prophet. He's the worshiper. I'm very, very well content to be just a voice crying in a wilderness place. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. He's the preferred one. Jesus is the preferred one. And I've come to introduce him to the world, as we shall see in a few moments. See, what I'm trying to get to your heart, the divine Son of God is the object of his worship. And I ask you the question, who is the object of your worship? Is it yourself? Do you worship self? Or do you worship the almighty dollar? Or do you worship some organization, religious or otherwise? Or is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the object not only of your faith, but of your worship? And I tell you, my friend, if he is God, then he ought to be the object of your worship, as well of your praise and your adoration. and make him the object of your love and of your affection. Now notice how John, now remember, he's talking to these Jews. And these Jews were looking for the coming of the Messiah. That's why they asked the question, are you the Messiah? And he denied it and said, I am not the Christ. But notice what he says in verse 26. In verse 25 they said, then if you're not the Messiah, what are you baptizing for? If you're not the Christ, and you're not Elijah, and if you're not the prophet, what are you baptizing for? And he said, well, I baptize with water. That's all I can do. But they're standing one among you whom you do not know. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy. I'm not worthy even to untie his shoelace. Oh, I just love John. But mark their ignorance. John says you don't know him. And many of them never did come to know him. Even though he was in their midst. They saw him. They saw his miracles. They heard his messages. But their hearts were closed. Is that true of you? Is that true of you? Is your heart closed to the revelation of the Son of God? Now remember, these were religious leaders. These were men who were looking for the coming of the Messiah. These were men who made their boast that they lived and walked according to Moses, looking for the coming of the Messiah. And Moses told them to look for that prophet to whom the gathering of the peoples would be. So they came, but they were ignorant of God. Do you know what? This is the tragedy today. I'm going to be very blunt when I say it. We have a great many religious people in America. In your town where you live, where I live, many religious people do not know the Savior. They do not know God. Many are occupied with an organization, a religious organization. And some possibly have become religious clubs. Christ has not been given his rightful place. Even to those of us who claim to be conservative in our theology, we believe the Bible to be the Word of God. We believe that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. Do we give him his rightful place in our lives? Friend, this is what I'm pleading for. That we who are Christians, we who profess his name, first of all, have you had a real relationship to the Savior? And remember, he has never turned anyone down. No one who came with an open heart, with an open mind, who meant business with God, not one down through the centuries, not one has been turned away. It may be that some have been driven away by the inconsistency of Christians, professing Christians. But friend, we're not talking about them, we're talking about Christ, the Son of God. One who came revealing the very heart of God. The one who loves men and loves women. Whose great desire is that all men should be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. The one who is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do you know him? And Christian friend, can we not learn a lesson here from John the Baptist? Just the satisfied to be a voice crying in the wilderness. He came to bear witness of the light. Nothing said about John, except that there was a man sent from God whose name was John. That's all you need to know about John. That's all you need to know about him. His name was John. He was sent from God. But he hid behind the Savior, and he wanted men to see Jesus, the preferred one, the divine Son of God. The one who was altogether lovely, and the one who came to reveal God to you and to me. What is Jesus Christ to you, my friend? I'm going to be very blunt and ask you the question. What does he mean to you? What does he mean to me? Oh, that we might learn the lesson of John. He not only hid behind Christ, but he was satisfied to be a worshiper. Ah, this is the important thing. More important than service? More important than sacrifice? That's right, that's right. Our sacrifice, our service, is the footage, the outflow of our worship of the living God. And when Jesus Christ is the object of your love and devotion as well as your faith, then the Lord will begin to use you and begin to use me in the revelation of himself to men and women everywhere. So I just plead with your heart this morning, or today, wherever you may you hide behind him, may you be in love with him, may you worship him, and if you've never received him, will you receive him as your own personal Savior. And read this gospel through John. Remember, say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. May the Lord bless you today.